Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Treehouse, episode 58, All of a Heap, with Danny Baker and me, Louise Pepper.
Yes, it is, and by the skin of our teeth. I suggest, Peps, people may roll their eyes a lot at these beginnings, but I'm going to just let a little daylight in upon magic. I'm going to just take the audience by the shoulder and walk them round backstage. I'll be Artie, and you be Larry Sanders. But because of reasons that are too tedious to go into, but it's never stopped me before, the show, we record the shows at midday now to accommodate Pep's schedule. And, well, we did one at midday, so I thought they're all at midday. So there I was, literally flicking playing cards into a top hat when through came the thing, we're all waiting for you.
And there are a little startled face.
A few sentences in life that have more power in them to jolt than... We're all waiting for you. In fact, it's only happened to me once, Peps. I was sitting in here, and Darius Rucker, the lead singer of formerly...
Oh, yeah.
...the Blowfish, and now, of course, a huge country star in his own right. He could only do an interview with the Five Live show on Thursday. And she said, is that all right, 11 o'clock? I said, yeah. Yep, absolutely. Pleasure to come into the BBC on my, you know, on a day off and talk to Darius. And there I was, thinking about, you know, having a shower and all of that, and sooner or later going over to the station when the phone rang here. And it was Claire, the old producer, who said, where are you? And no phone call should ever start like that. Never. Where are you? And I said, well, obviously I've answered the phone in my own house. She went,
I was going to say.
She said, we're all waiting. I said, who? She went, Darius Rucker, his band. We're all here at the BBC. I said, no, 1 o'clock. She said, 11 o'clock.
Oh.
I said, one o'clock, wasn't it?
Bet.
No, and well, she said, well, right, wait there. Now, I live, it's about 17 minutes on the tube once you get to Northbridge.
Mm.
And then to the BBC, it was about another 15 minutes on foot. I did it in about 30-odd minutes, which wasn't bad. And because I know him from way back, I've virtually introduced Hootie and the Blowfish via the old talk show to Britain. He was so accommodating, and the band had been playing for everybody and just feeling...
Oh, the sweat.
But that's making me sweat. Well, anyone out there who has a similar either where are you or we're all waiting call for them, we would love to hear from you. But here's the thing, I'm going to put Peps... Normally, yeah, I'm bringing us towels of the roller skate. The only thing I've got this morning is Marie Osmond. Right, Marie Osmond's birthday. The only thing we know about Marie Osmond, Peps, she's not called Marie Osmond.
No.
You know what her name is? Olive. Her name is Olive.
Old O-O herself.
She's O-O. Ooh. She's Olive Osmond. Now, if that doesn't sound like someone your mum used to live two doors down from, I don't know what. Ooh. Oh, it's raining. Take your sheets in. So I threw it over at Peps. I said, Peps, give me a break. Tell me something that I would perhaps would come up with were I not having my legs spinning like a cartoon character. So what can you tell us, Peps?
Well, firstly, on the 11th of August, which is as we are recording this, in 1897, mm-hmm. Enid Blyton was born.
Oh!
Which seems mad, 1897.
Mm.
And the only two things I thought you might possibly not know about Enid Blyton is that she loved to play tennis naked.
No, that is sensation upon sensation. No, there's no need for that.
Her love of tennis included playing naked.
Well, there's no need for that. I mean, and certainly not as an author of Noddy. There's no need for the kids. Don't need to know that. They don't need to think about that. The most trouble I've ever got into on the radio. Hang on, let me get out the very long list.
Hang on.
Let me go through volume 91. But the most was when I just said there's no need for nudists. I don't get it. And Five Lives phones, we just went mad for days. I said, I do not know. You're not closer to nature. Put some trousers on. That was my, and remains, I'm afraid, my take. And now
did you see the photos in the week of the chap in the German park chasing the boar?
With a box on its foot. I mean, there's no need for any of that. I mean, honestly, there's no need for any of that. And if you do it, don't tell anyone about it, except the police car when it rolls up.
She played her naked tennis at her own house, which she invited her readers to name in her magazine, if you please.
Would they call it New Balls, please?
Green Hedges. You've got every opportunity to name Hedges. Enid Blyton's house Green Hedges.
And she chose that one, did she?
Yeah, that's the one she went with.
Maybe like a Five Live competition.
Been knocked down since.
Like a Five Live competition, they only got three entries. You know, maybe that was it. And the other two were, you know,
Housey McHouse face.
And knowing her love of, you know, the tennis, New Balls, Please, or like the carry-on film, Sandy Balls, Close. That was the name of the nudist colony run by Peter Butterworth in Carry On Camping. A pound per person. I know. Look at
I don't think I've ever tweaked that.
Really sophisticated, killing it. A Sandy Balls, Close.
And now my other fact for you. Which we may need the spooky-ooky music for, Phil.
We're going to need that a couple of times this morning. We've got a few of those, Phil.
Oh, OK. Yeah. So this is August the 12th, as it is, the podcast comes out. 1853, one of the biggest maritime mysteries beside Marie Celeste, the Ship of Gold, Madagascar, Melbourne.
Hold it there, sorry. Just say Ship of Gold, Madagascar again. And when she does that, Phil, put in the old fog horn. That'll give it something. Ready? Okay. Go.
The Ship of Gold, Madagascar. Left Melbourne for London on this day in 1853 with 150 passengers, a crew, 3 tons of gold, and was never seen again.
No, I'd know about this. There's 3 tons of gold floating around out there.
Apparently. So it sailed over to Melbourne for the big gold rush. Mm-hmm. When they got there, 14 members of crew went, yeah, I'm up for that, and refused to come back to Britain. So he was a bit understaffed. And when they left, it says in the hold, the Madagascar carried a box of specie, which I think is coins, 8 boxes of silver, 9 boxes of sovereigns, which is 60,000 gold coins, 86 boxes of gold dust and nuggets weighing nearly 3 tons, a cargo of flour, rice, wool and timber. And it was never to be seen again.
Well, I think the flour, rice, wool and timber might have been...
Well, they said one of the theories that the wool combusted and set fire to it. A freak wave, or most plausibly, pirates.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Or maybe like one of my favourite lines from the old Goons show. Sunday, one morning they said, have you seen the captain and the second captain? No. Honestly, I saw them at 5 o'clock. Do you think the gold's safe? Oh, it's perfectly safe. Wherever they and their rowing boat are, that's what happened. that's exactly what happened.
To tie this all back into one of our earlier shows, in 1997, an Australian researcher discovered artefacts on the remote atoll of Anua Nuaro in French Polynesia that they believe may have come from the Madagascar.
If you've not heard the other 61 shows, you may not get the reference there, but this show comes from the Micronesia Islands, a different one every week. So already we need people who have had that kind of phone call or reminder, where are you? You're supposed to be here, Cole. And also things that started very late, because we're late starting because of my own tardiness. But not necessarily rock bands, because there's too many of those. I saw the Beach Boys come on an hour and a half late once. But anything that started very, very late, would love to hear from you. What are we doing this morning, Peps?
Number one, pets stealing or hiding stuff. Number two, mad things in the middle of nowhere. Number three, nicknames you're stuck with. Number four, ever set a trap for someone? And number five, dares involving celebrities.
Dares involving celebrities. Have any of you got of those? Have any of you got of the must be in 300 or more subjects since we started this extravaganza? They're always open. And of course, you can always get the tone of the show and make up your own. Now, because we're flipping everything on its head. Because of the shock I had. The funny thing, well, I'll tell you this in a minute, but no, the funny thing is, because I'm keeping the diary for the first time in my life, the entries are not brief, I'll tell you that. And I remember sailing past 30,000 words, only started about 3 weeks ago. It's all part of the upcoming Patreon deal where we're trying to give you bang for your buck. But just yesterday, I was writing about anxiety dreams.
And, oh, yes, of course.
Because I won't hold the show up, because the show's got to start. We know that. It's all about getting the show started. But I was writing it, and I said, I'd never got anxiety. Well, I have them occasionally. I'm in a studio. There are no CDs in the boxes.
Mine is reading a news bulletin, and there's no news.
Wow.
I get that one quite a lot.
What a blessed relief that would be. The nation would throw its hats in the air. And I'm there, and everything's all over the place, and people through the glass are taking no notice. I'm trying to say go to the news or something. They won't do it. Then strangers just keep walking in and having conversations. I'm trying to say we're on the air. And so there it is. The worst I ever had. We're going to start the show in Stanta, I promise you. I've mentioned it before. When I used to do the 6 o'clock show, live every Friday at 6 o'clock, I dreamt I'm on the top of a double-decker bus. I look out the window into the window of a radial rental store, or DER, or Granada, and all the television sets have got the opening titles of the 6 o'clock show starting on it. I jump up from my seat thinking, oh, I forgot. And there's too many people on the bus. I can't get down the stairs. Now it's going faster in the other direction. And Paul McCartney giving me the sitar to tell me to play in his band. That's another one. But I wrote in the thing, I'm not an anxious person. I don't worry. I'm not nervous.
No.
What is there to be anxious about? Well, this morning, perhaps I have prescience. Perhaps I can tell the future. And that's another subject for the show. Do you think you can tell the future? Have you ever foretold the future? This is from Graham. And this is Animals Who Stole Things. This is absolutely beautiful. My Bonnie, I love this story. Many years ago, our son Nick, then aged about 8, came down to breakfast one morning and complained he had been woken in the night by noises from under his bed. We didn't pay much attention to his story, but when he came down the next day and said, it happened again, there's noises under my bed, I had to appease him. I agreed to investigate. After pulling out boxes of toys, books, old socks, and the usual detritus lurking beneath a small boy's bed, I found our daughter Georgina's hamster called Spartacus hiding out. Spartacus had clearly escaped from his cage in Georgina's room and gone for a wander. Nick's room was obviously more to his liking, and he had constructed a little nest of torn tissues under the bed, within which he had stored all the treasures accumulated on his nocturnal wanderings. An iced gem, a piece of banana skin, a sweet wrapper, and best and most incredibly, a plastic sword and shield from one of Nick's Skeleton Warriors action figures. Sadly, there were no other rodents present to claim that they too were Spartacus, and he was swiftly recaptured and returned to his cage, all thoughts of armed rebellion cruelly crushed. That's from our friend Graham. Isn't that lovely? And I've got to say, the thought of the little ice gem. Well, imagine when he found that.
What a treasure.
Oh, no, but I'll have that later on.
Can I just say, Georgina didn't notice her hamster was missing for 2 days, is the other subtext to this.
There is that. But that's a beautiful story. And he took a little shield, and they're not going to get me without a fight. Come and get me, copper. Beautiful story of an animal collecting things. What you got there, Peps?
This is from Jerry. This is asking a stupid question. A few years ago, my friend was getting married and had duly arranged a stag weekend in Edinburgh with a day of Highland Games planned on the Saturday. After a very heavy night's drinking on the Friday, we set off on the journey to partake in caber tossing, tyre flipping, tug of war and other events in an inevitably muddy field, with the added ignominy of being in fancy dress. The theme was superheroes, and everyone represented all 14 of us adopting a character, and I was pleased to secure the rights to the Caped Crusader Batman. When we got to the Highland Games Centre, we were taken off and given an overview and briefing and usual health and safety. And to anyone looking on, it may have appeared rather odd that all the saviours of the world were given safety advice on how to throw a felled tree. But the last thing to take before taking to the Field of Dreams was to sign a disclaimer. I was handed the sheet of paper, and in a moment of weakness or frivolity, of course, I signed my name as Batman. I passed it along, and sure enough, Superman, Spider-Man, Captain America, etc., etc., followed suit. And once it had done the rounds, we handed it back and the official went to move the room, only to pull up upon reading the list. Cue the stupidest question. Okay, who wrote Batman? He asked. Looking around the room, blind to me, sat at the front, dressed as Batman. That was me, I said sheepishly. Very funny, he said. You all have to sign your real names, and handed me another sheet.
Uh-oh, I can see what's coming.
What would you do, I ask you, after being told off for writing Batman and asked to provide my real name? So, of course, there went Bruce Wayne. As we handed along the sheet, Clark Kent, Peter Parker, etc. followed suit. This time, we either didn't get the joke or tried to ignore our childishness.
Wow. And now, of course, that makes me think there must be someone called Bruce Wayne out there.
We've
done this many times, but it's always open. If something in pop culture makes your name a real tiresome joke for everybody else, you know, I mean, if you are called Peter Parker, everyone will think they're the very first person to say, oh, but if that's your name, please always let us know about that. Perhaps what was this thing I saw you put on Twitter about a window swap?
It's lovely. It came up during lockdown, I think, and people set a camera up on their window looking out. I think they're pre-recorded in little excerpts. And you can just click on one and you're looking at it out of a window in Austria at a mountain. And it says click another. And I watched for quite rather too long some chickens in someone's backyard in Hawaii just pecking around. And then a cat in Russia just looking out the window. Charming.
I don't mind a webcam. I don't mind. Like, there's one in Times Square, isn't there? And there's another one.
Oh, yes.
Robbie's marina down in Isla Mirada, where we've been many, many times. I'll sit there and sigh, particularly in the current days. And I'll just look there, and Wendell come in and say, oh, you look like you've got the... Are you looking at Robbie's marina? Yeah, I am. So I don't mind. I'll check that. It's a window swap thing. What would one see if one put in your front room window? What would they see, Peps?
Really boring domestic, a house that looks identical to ours.
Is it? Oh, it's just a street opposite. Yeah,
well, it really is. A house, literally, they all are identical, our houses. It's very, very Victorian, dull semis.
Inevitably, I've done that phone in before. What can you see out your window? And of course, the ones I like are the ones that are rather mundane. So again, if you want to get in touch with us with little photographs, we do have a web page. What's it called? Instagram. We do have the Instagram.
Yes, the Treehouse Pod. And our email is thetreehousepod@gmail.com.
It is.
In the treehouse.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. See,
man.
I'm all of a heap and you're making the mistakes. This is things in the middle of nowhere. This is from our friend David. Living as I do out in the rural northeast of Scotland, a lot of things here are pretty much in the middle of nowhere by default. But with a few little gems tucked away for the discerning visitor, my favourite is perhaps the Abbott FV-433 self-propelled gun, which sits next to the roadside on a country road near Aboyne. My son's favourite is the giant teapot lid outside the village of Old Deer, which is named after the Deer Abbey and not the inhabitants. Now, I've got to tell you, your son's got the right thing here, David. I don't want to chastise you halfway through your email. An FV-433 self-propelled gun. I see Pep's trying to keep her eyes open as I said that. But then you say my son's favourite is the giant teapot lid outside of Old Deer.
Just the lid?
I know. But Pep, you've got an hour to spend in that part of the country. Are you going to go and see some old Gatling gun or the giant teapot lid?
Because sitting on top of it for a photo, of course.
He says it's about 9 feet across and it looks a bit like a monstrous La Crusade casserole lid, perhaps owned by a wicked witch on the hunt for Hansel and Gretel. There's no reason for it to be there. And I've never found out why or where it's come from. This seems a bit incurious of you, my friend. The first thing I've done is saunter into the whatever they've got, you know, the slaughtered lamb, put my elbow on the bar, my foot on the rail, and said, the teapot lid, what's that all about? That's the first thing you'd say on moving up to Aberdeenshire. He says there's also a bit of film history not far from where I live in the shape of a red phone box. It was used in the film Local Hero. Yes, it's that one. It's just outside the coastal village of Penan, and there's a plaque outside the Penan Inn opposite, making you aware of what it is. So the actual one from the film Local Hero is across the road. Something quick, Peps, and then we'll take a break and I'll draw breath.
Well, this is beautiful going into an ad break. So this is from Jane Wallace. And we'll probably need the twinkly, twinkly, lovely music in a moment. When you talked about Pepsodent a couple of weeks ago, it reminded me of finding an old junior school notebook of mine from 1966. And in the back, my late mum had written several attempts at an advertising ditty for Pepsodent.
Oh.
She often entered competitions, and I assume this is what this was for. I don't remember her winning anything. We never used Pepsodent. But I've looked at the book again for you, and for the record, her final effort went, "To keep a lovely, healthy smile, you must give Pepsodent a trial. One brushing's all that you will need, and who knows where that smile will lead." It certainly
Isn't that beautiful? I actually thought that there's fellas over in, you know, St. Anne's Court in London earning 100,000 a year in those days for that. It's beautiful.
So Jane says, "It certainly made me smile remembering my lovely mum."
That is a beautiful thing. And on that rather sentimental note, which we don't mind hitting every now and then, we're going to take a little break. I'll draw breath and you will enjoy the following messages.
Good morning, everybody. It's the Danny Baker Show, radiating out across the airwaves. Come the sunshine or the rain, come aboard the Danny train. We'll kick our slippers off and throw our cares away. What better thing to do than have a jolly jape or two? Don't touch that dial, there's nowhere else to go. Come and join a happy session, wave ta-ta to the recession on the Danny Baker Show. Take it away, Danny.
And back again. Thank you very much indeed for sticking with us. I know I've been saying this ad nauseum over the last couple of weeks, but we are soon jumping ship to a much grander premises where all kinds of business will be under one roof over at Patreon there. It's at about 2 weeks' time, and I'll let you know exactly what you can do, and I hope you can stick with us in the treehouse there, because we want to do this for a living, and hopefully we can do with your help and everything else. But this is not one of those begging bowls. There's plenty, plenty there. I even, Peps, the other night, sat down, and because I'm going to, there's a musical strand on one of the tiers of it, apart from the diary, and I listed my 12 favourite punk singles, which is some going, because okay. I'm not a great fan of the old school anymore, but I had a ball doing it. As none of your, you know, band histories, there's just about what it meant to me. So I'm doing that for virtually every genre now.
Oh, lovely.
And Mancy's been in the record room here, and I just pull out a handful of records and say, okay, all right, so, and just whatever they are, I'll tell you what they are. And people, how about this? We're going to do sausage sandwich again, returning, and if you know me on Twitter, you know I do that good evening photo every night. I have to, otherwise people go mad. That's why I've got a nose like WC.
Or again, start worrying that you're lying under the bed or whatever.
Yes, exactly. If you don't do it, well, what's the matter with him tonight? But I always put different albums behind me, which is why they're snaking out all over the floor, because I don't file them again afterwards. But people can now tell me which albums they want behind, and they will give their reasons and plenty more. But that's all in the future. This is a very near future. This is from our friend Scott. But this again, this is odd. This is might need the same music as your tanker full of gold. Friday the 13th. Yes, Friday the 13th. I went into our front room to find two large black crows parading around my coffee table. Ooh. I managed to placate my family, saying they'd probably descended down the chimney rather than it being Beelzebub manifesting at them for our torture. I managed to catch them in a tea towel after destroying most of the room, and I pushed them out the window where they fluttered off into the skies. What can it mean? No, I don't see. I don't like crows. I don't know. I mean, there's very few birds.
They're sinister. You
know, they are. And they portend things. I believe they portend things. And they once nicked a frog out of our pond in the garden. We saw it hanging from its beak as it flew off. And that takes some sitting down afterwards. What you got there, Peps?
This is about coincidences and mystery items. This is from our friend Paul, who we last spoke to in February when his son bought the hand grenade in France, as you recall.
Oh, yes.
Just after I spoke to you, I went to the Canaries for a week, and this is what happened. We arrived at security, and I duly put my small hand luggage suitcase on the X-ray machine. On the other side, my case came through the conveyor in its plastic tray, and I picked it up, plus my watch and the passport, only to hear someone say, "Oi, that's mine." I looked round and a man was glaring at me. I had his suitcase, his watch on my wrist and his passport in my hand. We had exactly the same suitcase, the same watch and, of course, the same looking passport. Oh. I returned the items red-faced and confused, but this wasn't all. where were my items? It soon became clear and a security staff beckoned me over. Have you packed this case yourself, sir? Yes, I said. He had one eye on the screen and another on the case. He said, well, I can't find it. Find what? I asked. He turned the screen around and right in the middle of the case was a perfectly formed outline of a feather.
Oh.
He couldn't work out where it was or why he could see it on the X-ray machine. I had never seen it before, nor packed a feather. I explained this all to him and my wife looked puzzled. We kept on searching and finally the feather was revealed. There inside my holiday paperback, sitting between the pages, was a beautiful copper bookmark shaped as a feather.
Oh.
My wife had bought the paperback from a charity shop, not knowing what was inside. The security man was relieved about the mystery, but I think he thought it was something we'd bought to spice things up a bit and we were a bit embarrassed. Meanwhile, the big result, it was worth 30 quid. My wife was really chuffed as she only paid 50p for the book. And that's from Paul.
Spice things up a bit with the old copper feather.
A copper feather? That really would.
I suppose so, in one way. When you buy books from the charity shops, some people bridle at them if they've got annotations in the margins.
Mm.
You know, and you get, especially students, right? You know, yes, very true. Or see page 80. Or, I enjoy those. People hate them. But one book, and I don't know what it was. It was a book, probably be about the Second World War, the American Civil War. Just had one annotation all the way through it. And it was just written there in biro at one point, and it just said, did he? That's all it had. And there was no other annotation in the entire book, but did he? Somebody had written it. Then I read the paragraph, and it wasn't particularly spectacular. And I would love to track that person down and say, why did you write did he next to this year? And there's a mystery. So this was from the other week. Well, that one we've been doing is currently, aren't we? Things in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
And this is from Lisa. Thank you very much, Lisa. And she sent us a photograph with this. I was reminded recently of this in New Zealand's Otago Peninsula. It's not technically a mad thing in the middle of nowhere because there's nothing actually there. And the photograph she's provided shows a classic sort of country sign pointing the way to, usually says the next village and the mileage to it, a wooden sign, except this one is pointing into a huge open field. And written on the sign is, on this site used to be New Zealand's first cheese factory. And that's it. And she's written, what do you mean used to be? I mean, but what is it? What? And it's a sign. It's pointing it to a nothing and saying, on this site used to be New Zealand's first cheese factory. Well, that is certainly something in the middle of nowhere, Lisa. And a tiny little one here before I move on. This is from Steve Hill. It's about dares involving celebrities. And it's just a one-line email he sent us. I once touched Terry Venable's hair for a dare. He noticed.
Go and touch his hair. He doesn't have notable hair.
I mean, you could make out you're walking to him and brush against him. There, I did it. But you go up with, you know, outstretched index finger and go, of course he's going to notice. Well, thank you very much for that, Steve. Something from there, perhaps.
But this is from Kevin. He says, I have a story that I think falls under unbelievable but true, but also something you would never do again. This sounds ridiculous, and I still feel embarrassed today, but I once asked to move rooms in a hotel because I told them I had seen a ghost.
Oh.
To put some context to this...
Hotels are notoriously haunted. Have you seen The Shining? I mean, of course you'd see ghosts in hotels, if anywhere. Go on.
To put some context on this, my room was horrible, but instead of saying this, I decided to be British and spare their feelings by telling them that I had seen the ghost of an old man and that I needed to move rooms. Now, that alone is stupid, but the best is yet to come.
Oh.
Would you believe, as I stood there, the voice behind me said he could help as he was a registered exorcist. I promise you this is true. Several hours later, I was back in my room with some other keen guests from the hotel and the resident exorcist. I had to sit there while he told us he could see the old man and encourage him into the light. And then he announced he'd crossed over and the room was cleansed, although it was still horrible, and we all shuffled out. To add a wonderful gloss to this idiotic tale, I was staying at the hotel for a works get-together, and imagine my shame when I was on the front page of the company newsletter next month. Care worker sees ghost in hotel bedroom. I left the job 4 months later, and typing this to you has slightly lightened the shame.
Well, thank you, my friend. A tremendous tale. What are the chances of that? It's a perfectly good story about wanting to change room because you've seen a ghost. And they say, oh, that's handy. We've got the exorcist here. Everyone to the lifts. And when he said, yes, I can see the old man, he must have said, have you checked flies? Oh, no, I remember my story now. Well done, my friend. Bravo. This is from, this is about nicknames you're stuck with. This is great. This is from our friend Mark. By the way, Peps, again, sorry to be stalking you on Twitter. I think they call it following, don't they? What happened to your fridge freezer? Why is it out in the garden? Because I showed it to Wendy. What's he been doing out in the garden? Why is your fridge freezer out in the garden?
Because last Wednesday, I went to get a can of pop out of the freezer and thought, that feels a bit warm. And then touched everything else. Oh, this all feels warm. The day before a heat wave. Oh, my goodness. Called a fella to come round, and bless him, he came round at the end of his sort of day's work at sort of 7:30 at night. And he did that thing of he walked in and I went, I don't know if you'll hear it. I switched it off, I've switched it back on, and it keeps doing this click. And he went, don't even need to look at it. Yeah. Whatever condensers seized up, it'll cost more to replace it than it would to get a new one, blah, blah, blah. So then immediately I was running around all the neighbours, shoving frozen food in their freezers and all of that hoopla. And I was like, well, I'm not having that behemoth sitting in the kitchen doing nothing, overgrown cupboard. So we chucked it out, and then it was like, what are we doing?
I'm going to stop you there because I've sort of followed the tale and thought, well, a fridge freezer, and it's a huge one. By the way, bravo. That is a sizable two-drawer fridge freezer with a big, big, as you say, it's like 2000.
American style, as they call it.
It is. So Wendy said, well, why she put it in her garden? And that's the bit I didn't get.
Well, because we panic bought a second-hand little fridge freezer to tide us over in the meantime. Because we had a freebie little desk fridge that had come from Red Bull. So I immediately chucked the essentials, cheese, and milk in there.
All right.
I put other things in the wine cooler. We had just food everywhere. So we bought a second-hand one and we thought, well, where's that going to go?
There was a lot
of swearing. I was nearly squashed by that fridge.
It was epic. In that direction. See, I couldn't do that. The other week I found an old mini disc player of mine. It was quite big. It also incorporated a little amplifier. It also incorporated a little amplifier. And I just put that in, literally on one of the walls in the garden while I was sorting out other stuff. And when the media was on that, don't leave that in the garden. Neighbours think they live next door to Steptoe.
We are truly Steptoe's yard. Well, not least, because my husband, being his father's son, went, you know what? Those handles could be useful. He's taken the handles off it. So it looks really dreadful.
Well, if you need any kind of aluminium, she's got tons of it just sitting around in her yard. This is from our friend Mark, and it's about nicknames you're stuck with. During the late 1980s, you may remember the Zoot Suit made a brief and now largely forgotten comeback. For a Mayfly incident, young chaps about town look like a cross between Cab Calloway and most of Matt Bianco. It was perhaps unwise of my pal Julian to wear only the bottom part of the 1930s ensemble. He walked into the village pub one night. Julian sported a remarkable pair of burgundy strides, pleated, commodious, and not altogether easy on the eye. Pints were lowered, darts stopped mid-flight, and a palpable silence befell the bar, until a lone voice declared, "Blimey, Julian, they're bad trousers." And thus was born the nickname which he retains to this day, Bad Trousers, or BT for short. He now resides in Canada. I hope he hears this and recalls the genesis of that particular epithet. Mark in North Shields on behalf of old BT. The thing with any of those, when you have to recount them to people, why do they call you BT? Oh, well, you see, and that's when your mates nip in to say exactly that. Mentioned many times, my friend George, his real name's Mickey. Why do they call you George? Because I was so bad at football, they used to call me George Best when I was 7, you know? Stephen Saunders is his real name. Why don't your mates all call you Sebast? Because when I was at primary school, my initials were SS, and so everyone said I was Sebastian Sausage, all right? So any of those that people have, we would love to hear from you. Something else from you, Peps?
Well, this is another strange things in the middle of nowhere. This is from Richard. Some years ago, I had to visit Romania on a business trip. This was a couple of years after the end of communist dictatorship, and things were still a little Wild West, to say the least. I was in a remote town called Sinia in the region neighbouring Transylvania, and the various madnesses I will tell you about occurred. In between meetings, I decided to walk into the town. And as I got onto the main drag, I noticed a man on the pavement with what looked like a large bear. On closer inspection, that is exactly what it was.
Oh.
A 7-foot bear on a chain.
Oh.
Nobody else was taking any notice, and I assumed this was a regular feature in downtown Sinia. It wasn't such a regular thing for me, and I duly phoned my wife back home with a guess what I've just seen story. Next day, in another break, I decided to walk into town again. Not much else to do in remote Romania, of course. The man and the bear were in their position, but things had escalated. While he kept hold of the bear's lead in one hand, he now had a lion tethered to the other.
No.
I threw a phone call back to the UK again, during which my wife not only asked why I was having so many breaks, but also had I been sampling the local home brew. And there Richard ends it.
Oh, no. I mean, so the thing is, I mean, immediately our thoughts turn to Brer Lion and Brer Bear. But nevertheless, like you say, what was... Well, you couldn't be charging you to look at them because there they were in plain sight. Speaking about East European friends, one of the most, never mind your lions and your bears, long time ago, we was asking things, well, probably like in the middle of nowhere or things you've never got to the bottom of. And there was a similar correspondent like that. And then somebody got in touch and said, well, you know, in Albania and Bulgaria, people like to get weighed a lot. I don't know if you ever heard this, Peps.
You've said this before.
They like to get weighed. And people stand on the street, sometimes only 20 feet apart, holding scales. And you give them a few kopecks or whatever it is, and you can weigh yourself. And I said, not surely as popular, not 20 feet apart on the same street. And people got in touch and said, oh, yeah, there are salons, loads of weighing salons over there. You wonder what happens to all the speak your weight machines that used to be around in the 70s and 80s. They're out there in downtown Albania, right next to the normal wisdom season at the fixtures. And everyone thinks nothing more than dropping a coin and hearing, you are 6'5" or something. That would be a child, of course. But people love to weigh themselves. So perhaps the bear could guess your weight. That's the only thing.
Have you ever had your weight?
I know we've got to finish the show. Have you ever we'll start the next show with Kate's wonderful story about what her dad saw in the middle of nowhere. But have you ever had anyone guess your weight? All jokes aside there, Peps.
I think that's fallen out of usage.
Surely. It was until recently if you went to Universal Studios in Florida, where they do a recreation of the town in Jaws for the Jaws ride. And as you walked through it, there was kind of a little sideshows as you walked towards it. And one of them was a fellow in a traditional candy-striped, red and white striped shirt with a megaphone saying, step right up, folks. I will guess your weight and age, which I, you know, go on, whenever I go, no thanks. I thought, well, I'm going to have a go at this. And I never weigh myself. I don't see the point in yourself. You are what you look like, and that's that. So I've never, I do not understand weighing yourself. Doesn't make you all of a sudden, you know, you know if you've got a few pounds on, you're putting on some timber. Anyway, I went across to him and I did it. And I think he said, like, I don't know what he said, something about 13'2" or something. And I didn't know what I was. And I don't know if she was a rube or you know, they got it when they put your plant in the crowd. I don't know if she was a plant, but she, a woman behind me, said, do me. He said, by the way, he got my age exactly right. And then he does, you know, fills the upper arms and all of this. And he said to her, you are, 12'6" and you are 33 years old. Absolutely right. Now, how did he do that? I mean, I don't know if he got my weight right, but I know he got my age. And everyone who came up, nobody said, you're out. He was allowed a couple of pounds either way, it said on his sign. But he could do that. Now, isn't that something?
It's a forgotten skill.
It's a tremendous skill. It's like Memory Man. The people used to come on and have a good memory. Anyway, apologies if today's show seemed rushed. Peps did all the heavy lifting. Play the theme tune there, Phil.
1, 2, 3, 4. Treehouse! Climb up, come in, let's cozy down. Wave goodbye to that silly frown as we chase our cares away. In the treehouse!
the fire's on, it's warm inside. We guarantee you'll be satisfied as we laugh the day away.
Yes, thank you indeed to the saviour of the show, Louise Napoleon Pepper, over there on the other side of town. So you can follow the feed of the show or either of our Twitter feeds to see the subject. And anytime you want to get in touch with any of the old subjects, please do. Because once we make this jump to hyperspace, which is coming up, if we ever got any emails to read, if you don't join us there, then this little good deed in a wicked world may expire. So putting away the violin, I want to thank you, of course, Louise again, Phil Wilding, who's cobbled together the show from my breathless state. But as always, as you can tell, chiefly yourselves. We'll see you at the weekend.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.